Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 18th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
another powerful storm prepares to hit the Northeast.
The energy crisis in Texas enters its fourth day with more than a million still without power.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott bans sales of the state's natural gas beyond its borders.
New York Governor Cuomo faces mounting challenges to his leadership on the pandemic. Plus, the CDC says we're going to live a year less on average. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks lost in Orlando, and Serena Williams lost to Naomi Osaka in the Australian Open semifinal.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moss now, and U.S. futures are falling this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 16 points, Dow futures down 88, NASDAQ futures down 96. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.28%, the yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1%, down 6 cents at $61.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10.20 at $17.82.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2065 against the dollar. The yen 105.74. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute. First, another powerful storm is set to hit the Northeast. Let's get more on the snow and what to expect in your area from Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Rob.
Nathan, over the course of the next 36 hours, we're going to be dealing with a series of low pressure systems moving offshore south of New York and New England. This will bring snow to the district in Baltimore this morning, but they're eventually going to change over to rain. Too much warm air gets in, so accumulations in the district in Baltimore today are about 1 to 3 inches. Tri-state area is going to pick up snow. It may mix with some sleet and freezing rain along the coast, but most of the tri-state area is going to receive 4 to 7 inches of snow from today through tonight. The Boston area, the snow is going to hold off until late today. The accumulating snow in Boston falls later tonight and tomorrow morning. In Boston, it looks like about a 4 to 7 inch accumulation with the heaviest amount south of Boston, lighter amounts to the north.
Okay, Rob, now, when do we think it's going to end?
Storm will wind down tomorrow morning in the district in Baltimore. In fact, there could be some afternoon sun. In New York, we'll see some snow showers through midday. It dries out by late in the day. Boston, snow showers are going to continue into Friday night. It doesn't dry out until Saturday morning. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you. And we check back in with you throughout the morning. Meantime, the energy crisis in Texas and the central U.S. is now in its fourth day. Blackouts in the Houston area may last a couple more days while residents are shivering through sub-freezing temperatures. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner said the deep freeze has been deadly.
We have seen families, for example, who have gotten in their cars and used their cars as heaters and have died because of carbon monoxide poison.
Meantime, Texas is taking the extraordinary step of restricting natural gas sales across state lines. And here's Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
I have issued an order effective today through February the 21st, requiring those producers that have been shipping to locations outside of Texas to instead sell that natural gas to Texas power generators.
Critics say the move from Governor Abbott violates the Constitution.
And now the finger pointing has begun over the power crisis in Texas. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Austin Mayor Steve Adler blames terrible infrastructure on deregulation.
When you put so much emphasis on having a deregulated system where the priority is just to provide power at the lowest possible price, you have a disincentive for people to invest in the protections that are necessary in order to insure against these kinds of incidents.
And it isn't looking as if widespread power restoration will happen until next week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Federal regulators warned Texas about a situation like this a decade ago. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports an analysis from 2011 said the state's power plants were vulnerable to the bitter cold.
That was when the last deep freeze plunged 4 million people into the dark. They recommended that utilities use more insulation, heat pipes, and take other steps to winterize plants. As investigators probe the current power crisis in Texas, questions are sure to be raised about how the state responded responded to the urgings from that 2011 analysis. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. The turmoil in Texas continues to move energy markets. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, U.S. oil production has plunged by a record 40%. More than 4 million barrels a day of output is now offline. Fracking in the Permian oil field has gone dark. Brent crude, this is the global benchmark, earlier jumped above $65 a barrel, a level it hasn't reached in over a year. Gasoline prices are rising because of refinery outages, while propane used for heating jumped to the highest level since 2014. And several companies in the oil industry are warning customers they won't be able to meet deliveries under contract. Right now, NYMEX crude at $61 a barrel, Brent crude at $64.27. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. It promises to be a big day on Capitol Hill, where the retail trading frenzy is in focus. The House Financial Services Committee holds a hearing at noon on the craze that gripped Main Street and Wall Street. And Bloomberg Finance correspondent Shanali Basic has more.
We'll hear from the CEO of Robinhood, which has become really the face of the retail rally in stock markets. And there will be a lot of questions around why they restricted trading, why they had to raise money in the heat of the GameStop situation, when things really got wild. And then we'll also hear from a few hedge fund managers, really secretive hedge fund managers, most notably Ken Griffin, who is the founder of Citadel, one of the world's largest hedge funds, and the majority owner of Citadel Securities, one of the world's largest market makers that handles many of Robinhood's trades.
All right, thanks, Shanali. Several lawsuits have been filed over the short squeeze mania. Still, Mick Mulvaney, who served as acting chief of staff to President Trump, says the system did its job.
We're following the rules. DTCC did exactly what they were supposed to do. Robinhood did exactly what they're supposed to do. They're following the regulatory regime that the federal government created in order to protect the integrity of the markets. One of the reasons they had to restrict trading was because if they didn't, they had a chance that their system might collapse. And that's what Dodd-Frank and the regulatory system is designed, supposedly, to prevent.
Mulvaney spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing mounting challenges to his leadership on the coronavirus pandemic. State lawmakers have threatened to strip him of the power to issue emergency orders, and federal investigators scrutinize his administration's handling of nursing home data. The Associated Press is reporting that the U.S. Justice Department has been examining the governor's coronavirus task force. Meanwhile, New York Assemblyman Ron Kim said Governor Cuomo threatened to destroy him after criticizing his administration's handling of nursing home deaths during the pandemic. A spokesman for Cuomo called the lawmaker a liar. Cuomo spoke during his briefing yesterday.
I've had my office, more than me, has had a long and hostile relationship with Assemblyman Ron Kim.
Kim, a Democrat like Cuomo, represents Flushing, a Queens neighborhood hit hard by the virus. Maryland's governor has announced the state's first confirmed case of the Brazil variant of the coronavirus. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy had a message to residents.
First of all, folks, don't travel to Brazil and South Africa right now. I couldn't be clearer.
The CDC is also urging everyone to postpone travel. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds that life expectancy in the U.S. dropped a staggering 1 year during the first half of 2020 as the pandemic caused its first wave of deaths. Dr. Robert Anderson is the chief of mortality statistics for the CDC, says it's now down to 77.8 years.
It's right about 1 year. Decline in life expectancy. And while that doesn't sound like a whole lot at a population level, this is a huge decline.
Minorities suffer the biggest impact, with black people losing nearly 3 years and Hispanics nearly 2 years. President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have spoken, ending speculation about why the new president had not reached out. Biden said that the two had a good conversation. They discussed the COVID-19 pandemic and Iran's nuclear program. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. John Stanshaw is here with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Knicks had hopes of a fourth straight win, a 500 record. They had a halftime lead in Orlando and then played a nightmarish third quarter. Shot 6 of 20, got outscored 30-14. The Magic won going away 107-89. Terrence Ross, 30 points. Julius Randle had 25 for the Knicks. Nets and Lakers tonight in L.A., where last night Utah beat the Clippers by 18. The Jazz have won 20 of their last 21. Serena Williams wouldn't say when asked last night if her career was over. She's 39, still very competitive, but hasn't won a Grand Slam in 4 years. Stuck on 23, one shy of the all-time record. Serena had 24 unforced errors. She fell in straight sets to Naomi Osaka, who won the Aussie Open 2 years ago, the U.S. Open in 2018. She'll now face American Jen Brady in the final. Novak Djokovic has reached the men's final. He just won in straight sets. Talk about locking up a young star. Fernando Tatis Jr., only 22. He's played 2 seasons in San Diego. He's got a new contract with the Padres. 14 years, $340 million. Yankees has some new pitchers. Corey Kluber, Jameson Taillon, both trying to make it back from injuries. Aaron Boone on his pitching staff.
When you look at the names and the guys and the track records, there's a lot of talented people, and I think everyone can acknowledge that. I also acknowledge, some of the risks and the questions that certainly people will have, when you bring in J-Mo and Corey, who haven't pitched a lot in the last couple of years.
Yankees pitchers and catchers reported in Tampa. Full workout today, and the Mets will have one tomorrow in Port St. Lucie. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports.
And, John, his team hasn't won the Super Bowl in decades, but the owner of the Dallas Cowboys is striking it big in the energy markets. The natural gas producer that Jerry Jones owns is cashing in on a surge in prices as the brutal freeze grips the U.S. Comstock Resources has been able to sell gas from its shale wells in East Texas and northern Louisiana at premium prices during the deep freeze. S&P futures lower by 18 points. Dow futures down 97. Now NASDAQ futures down 108 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Snow is here. Winter weather advisory till 7 tomorrow night. Could get 4 to 7 inches of snow, sleet, freezing rain. Highs in the low 30s today and tomorrow and Saturday, when we'll finally have a mix of sun and clouds.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global bond yields continue to march higher. Copper soaring to an 8-year high as traders bet on China's economic expansion. Futures are lower this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 85. NASDAQ futures down 108, or about 0.8%. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.28%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 2 cents at $61.12 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.20 at $17.83.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.2067 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3932. And the yen at 105.68. And checking Bitcoin, it's at $51,618. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with housing starts and building permits. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and Walmart's among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Anger over Texas's power grid failing in the face of a record winter freeze is mounting. Nearly 2 million customers are still without power. The outages follow unusually heavy snowfall and single-digit temperatures in Texas, creating a surge in demand for electricity to warm up homes. Officials offered no timetable for when power might be restored throughout the state. Another winter storm is heading for the eastern and central U.S., threatening to bring snow to the northeast and icy rain to southern states already enduring the power outages. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Wizards and Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and along with that winter storm headed to Washington, a firestorm could be arriving on Capitol Hill this afternoon as the retail stock frenzy that gripped markets last month comes under the spotlight in the House Financial Services Committee. Let's get more on what's coming today. Bloomberg Television and Radio Finance Correspondent Shanali Basak is with me in the studio this morning. Great, as always, to speak with you, Shanali. Robinhood, Citadel, Melvin Capital, all going to be on Capitol Hill this afternoon. A lot for lawmakers to get to.
It is certainly a lot for lawmakers to get to. Each of the executives speaking today have about 3 to 5 pages of testimony. And when you look at Robinhood, it's 13 pages.
Yeah.
So it is, we will hear a lot from them, and all of them are really coming from different angles. A lot of them are highlighting their own backgrounds and how they got into trading, even the most experienced of them, Ken Griffin, CEO of Citadel, highlighting that he started his career as a retail trader when he started investing.
Now, it's interesting, though, when you look through this written testimony that's already been released by these players, there does seem to be somewhat of a unified message, doesn't there, that what happened in terms of pulling back the trades in GameStop, all those names you remember from last month, wasn't driven by hedge funds. That really seems to be the message that they're trying to convey to lawmakers.
That is part of the message, but beyond that they did not have any way of really working together to make this happen, right? There was a lot of concerns about Robinhood and its relationship to Citadel Securities, where Citadel Securities handles a lot of Robinhood's order flow, but they also pay them for the order flow to make it easier and faster to trade. It's a complicated process that a lot of people don't understand, but really the concern around it was that Citadel and Ken Griffin had something to gain by that market maker, Citadel Securities, handling this trade, and they're making sure that that's not the case.
Do you think we're going to get more understanding about payment for order flow once this hearing gets going? Is there going to be more clarity about how this system works for investors? Because a lot of Robinhood's customers may have felt blindsided by what happened last month.
Listen, that's the real hope, and there's a real risk that this becomes purely political, that this becomes a bit of a show. But, you know, yesterday I was talking to a group of financial technology executives, for example. They came out on different sides of the table when it came to payment for order flow. One agreed with it, one did not. And it is a controversial thing. They're going to really need to make the case for it. There's also another issue that was brought up by Robinhood, which is a T+2 settlement. It takes 2 days after your trade to settle the trades.
Yeah.
And it makes it difficult in times of extreme volatility for a new firm like Robinhood to be making sure they had all the capital on hand. So
yeah. It seems like Vlad Tenev, the CEO of Robinhood, was really explicit about wanting to get rid of that that regulation, to almost make trades happen in real time. I mean, it sounds to me like there could be, you know, pros and cons to something like that.
Yes. Yes. And that's something that, listen, the retail investing frenzy, right, is here to stay. Trades are now, commissions are zero, right?
Yeah.
And Robinhood is not the only broker, of course, that's handling these trades. We've seen volumes surge at most major brokers. So, and you know, even after all of this, all the controversy, we have seen a lot of downloads go to Robinhood, many, many downloads, and the other apps, right? After the GameStop saga, the top, at least four of the top five apps on the Apple Store were all trading apps. So this will continue. The question is, how do you make it safer for the average person to be investing?
So then in our last 30 seconds, that leads to my last question. Do you think there could be a potential for more regulation or scrutiny to come out of this hearing, or are we just going to hear a bunch of rhetoric?
It'll be a lot of rhetoric because, again, these are really, you know, lawmakers. But at the same time, the SEC and every regulator under the Biden administration is focused on consumer protections. So down the road, there could very well be regulation.
A lot to watch at the House Financial Services Committee this afternoon. Noon Wall Street time is when that hearing gets underway with the CEOs of Robinhood, Reddit, Citadel, Melvin Capital, all appearing on Capitol Hill today. Bloomberg finance correspondent Shanali Basak, thank you for this preview. And stay with Bloomberg Radio and Television for continuing comprehensive coverage of today's hearing at House Financial Services. Again, it gets underway today at noon, Wall Street time. Head of the market open, S&P futures are down 16 points, Dow futures down 78, NASDAQ futures lower by 106 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Another powerful storm is heading to the northeast. We'll bring you the latest in just a moment. But first, the energy crisis in Texas is deepening. More than a million residents are still without power, and millions more are under boil water advisories. Lena Hidalgo is the head of Harris County in Texas.
About 2.5 million people have been without power for several days, at least three nights at this point, and now they have no water either.
At the same time, Texas is taking the extraordinary step of restricting natural gas sales across state lines. Critics say the move is unconstitutional.
In the meantime, energy companies are advising customers of cuts to product deliveries across Texas. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Extreme cold weather has disrupted power supply and plant operation. Plains All American Pipeline warned shippers of impact to their operations. Oryx Midstream Services declared a force majeure. And Occidental Petroleum, the Permian Basin's second largest producer, told buyers it will be forced to reduce deliveries because of complications from the historic freeze. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. The turmoil in Texas is having a major impact on energy markets this morning. We get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, in fact, it's roiling markets worldwide. Brent, the international benchmark for crude oil, hit $65 a barrel overnight. That is the highest level in over a year. U.S. oil production has plunged by a record 40%, while fracking in the largest U.S. oil field has ground to a halt. And natural gas at some regional hubs has soared past $1,000 per million British thermal units. Right now, we have NYMEX crude at $61.16. Brent is at $64.44 a barrel. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, another major story we're following takes us to Capitol Hill, where the House holds a hearing today on the recent retail stock frenzy. We get more from Bloomberg finance correspondent Shanali Basak.
We're going to hear from the CEO of Robinhood, who had restricted trading during the heat of the GameStop rally. And then we're also going to hear from some major hedge fund executives, most notably Ken Griffin, who's the majority owner of Citadel Securities, which is a market maker that handles a lot of Robinhood's trades. Questions could really scale the gamut. It could be about gamification. It could be about market structure. But at the end of the day, we'll get a lot of information that is really rare to come across.
All right, Shanali. That hearing gets underway at noon, Wall Street time. Stay tuned for live coverage on Bloomberg Radio and Television. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And at 6:33 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world as the snow comes down. Michael.
Oh, old man winter, like the guy won't leave the party. Another winter storm is heading for the eastern and central U.S., threatening to bring snow to the northeast and icy rain to southern states already enduring power outages amid a deep freeze. What does it mean for the tri-state area? With more on the weather system, here's Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Michael, the National Weather Service has the region under a winter weather advisory through 7 p.m. Friday. The snow that overspreads the area today, well, it may mix with some sleet and freezing rain by late today along the coast. Looks like we're probably going to pick up about 4 to 7 inches from the storm. And again, I think the coast is most liable to mix with some sleet and freezing rain during the evening and overnight hours. By the time it all ends tomorrow with some snow showers, it looks like the interior's probably got about 4 to 8 inches, along the coast 4 to 7 inches. It should dry out tomorrow afternoon and will be in much better shape for the ride home by tomorrow evening. Michael?
Rob, thank you very much. New York lawmakers will seek to curb the sweeping emergency powers afforded to Governor Andrew Cuomo in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic after backlash widened over how his administration handled nursing home deaths. Meanwhile, a spokesman for Governor Cuomo says New York Assemblyman Ron Kim is lying that Cuomo threatened to destroy him during a phone call about nursing home deaths. Cuomo spoke about Kim during his news briefing.
As far as his point that we didn't provide Department of Justice with information, that is 100% wrong. He knows it. We paused the state legislature's request for information, which I've now said 15 times.
Kim, a Democrat like Cuomo, represents Flushing, a Queens neighborhood hit hard by the virus. COVID-19 shaved about a year off life expectancy in the U.S. during the first half of 2020. According to preliminary data from the CDC, an American born today can now expect to live 77.8 years. While 1 year may not sound like a lot, the CDC's chief of mortality statistics, Dr. Robert Anderson, says it's a substantial decline.
It's not something that we've seen. I mean, you have to go back to, you know, World War II, you know, 1940s to find a decline like this in the past.
Black men saw a 3-year decline in life expectancy. After a 7-month journey, the Mars rover Perseverance is expected to touch down on the red planet this afternoon. NASA says its mission is to find out if there was any life on Mars. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. The news update was brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer, Land Rover Above and Beyond. At 6:36 on Wall Street, we bring in John Stashire for Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, one strength for the Knicks this season has been the play of their bench, but not last night. In Orlando, the bench shot 7 of 37. Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley were a combined 2 of 22. The Knicks shot only 38% as a team. They lost to the Magic 107-89. Knicks led at the half, but then scored only 33 points in the second half. Their game Saturday at the Garden with San Antonio postponed. There's an outbreak on the Spurs. The Nets visit the Lakers tonight. College basketball, Seton Hall trailed at the half and beat DePaul 60-52. Only the 11th game of the year for Iona due to all the COVID postponements and Gale's loss to Quinnipiac. It'll be Naomi Osaka against Jennifer Brady in the Australian Open women's singles final. Brady from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, won her match in 3 sets. And Osaka, straight sets over Serena Williams, who she's now beaten 3 out of 4. And Serena is now 39. She's gone 4 years without winning her record-tying 24th Grand Slam. Since the last win, 4 losses in finals, 2 in semis. She was emotional as she waved to the crowd when walking off the court.
I don't know. The Aussie crowd is so amazing, so it was nice to see.
People wondered if this is, you were almost saying farewell.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. So.
Later in the post-match presser, Serena walked off in tears. The fans were back in Melbourne after being kept out for 5 days in a lockdown. Novak Djokovic won his men's semifinal match in straight sets. Fernando Tatis Jr., only 22, has quickly become one of baseball's bright young stars, and the Padres making sure he'll stay in San Diego, a 14-year contract for $340 million. John Stachel, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Coming up to 6:38 on Wall Street, time to look at stocks and the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. What you watching, Dave?
I'm watching Tesla for starters, Nathan. The share's down 2.5% in early trading. The electric car maker cut Japanese prices of its Model 3 sedan by as much as 24%. The reductions were the first ever in Japan for Tesla, where only about 2,000 cars were sold by the company last year. Also watching Palantir Technologies, that stock down 6%. Stockholders in the maker of data analysis software will be free to sell 80% of the shares for the first time today. Sales had been restricted in connection with Palantir's direct listing in September.
And I know we're watching for some major earnings this morning as well.
Yeah, we are. Well, in the next half hour, we're due to get results from Walmart And analysts there want to hear the retailer's fiscal year outlook and its prospects for a profit in e-commerce. We're also due to get results from the hotel chain Marriott International, where the CEO, Arne Sorenson, died this week of pancreatic cancer at 62. Also, the trash hauler Waste Management scheduled to report. We've already heard from Hormel Foods. That stock up 2%. The maker of the canned meat Spam and other foods posted fiscal first quarter sales that exceeded estimates. We have SunPower down 8%. These numbers out late yesterday. The solar equipment maker's fourth quarter sales trail projections. You're seeing other alternative energy stocks fall as well. Bloom Energy down 5%. Fuel Cell Energy down 7.5%. Plug Power also down 7.5%. Fastly lower by 6%. The cloud computing software maker projected a loss for this year that was wider than estimates. On the other hand, Twilio up 11%. The maker of cloud-based communication software reported an unexpected fourth quarter profit as revenue beat projections. You've got LKQ up 3.5%. This is a company that provides replacement auto parts. They reported fourth quarter earnings and revenue the top projections. And Tilray higher by 6%. The maker of medical marijuana products had a quarterly profit before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization for the first time.
There's been a lot of movement in Tilray ahead of that report. Okay, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for all that. Looking at stocks as a whole this morning, seeing declines for the futures contracts. Right now, S&P futures down 17 points, Dow futures down 85. NASDAQ futures down 113 points. 10-year Treasury also down 3/32. The yield 1.28%. Yield on the 2-year note 0.10%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 79 points. S&P's dropped 16. NASDAQ futures decline by 106. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.28%. Gold is up 9. And Hong Kong fell 1.6% overnight. While European markets are also trading lower, led by losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts, initial jobs claims, and Philly Fed. After the bell last night, Twilio Q1 revenue forecast beat estimates. Shares are up 11% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Walmart to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Tesla cut Model 3 prices in Japan by as much as 24%, and Palantir's lockup expires today. Wrapping things up, Tilray was cut to neutral over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Another winter storm is heading for the eastern and central U.S., threatening to bring snow to the northeast and icy rain to southern states already enduring power outages amid a deep freeze. The National Weather Service says Manhattan Central Park in Boston going to get 6 to 8 inches of snow by early tomorrow. Texas is restricting the flow of natural gas across state lines in an extraordinary move that some are calling a violation of the U.S. Constitution's Commerce Clause. Texas Governor Greg Abbott told a media briefing that he was banning gas from leaving the state through February 21st to ensure in-state power generators had ample supplies. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Wizards and Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation nation's capital include President Biden's immigration agenda taking shape as lawmakers unveil a major bill, the Biden administration pressing Taiwan and other allies on the auto chip shortage, and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell entering his final year with labor union support put to the test. Also making news, Robinhood, Citadel, Reddit getting set for a grilling on Capitol Hill. Let's get more on all these stories from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. The House Financial Services Committee will be the one to watch this afternoon, Emily, as the retail stock frenzy comes to Washington.
That's absolutely right. We're expecting to see a sort of a blockbuster hearing today. Officials from Robinhood, from hedge funds like Citadel, Melvin Capital, and individuals who are part of the sort of Reddit push to buy more GameStop and really drive up that price. We'll all be in front of lawmakers today. A couple of big questions, a particular focus on Robinhood today. Lawmakers really want to know why Robinhood started banning members from buying GameStop stock and other sort of meme-like sales. I think today's hearing is going to sort of be the foundation for sort of giving us any clues as to whether Congress thinks that they need to move on this in a legislative capacity or maybe leave it more up to the SEC to do regulatory work.
Well, we've already gotten some clues of how this hearing could go with the release of the prepared testimony that these CEOs have put forward. What's the story they're going to be telling lawmakers today?
I mean, the CEOs are going to sort of be pushing back against the sort of theory that has sprung up that they were sort of working with Robinhood, that they are responsible for stopping GameStop trade. We're expecting sort of the Robinhood officials to sort of come in and say, you know, that the reason that they had to stop the sale of these stocks was because the capital that was needed for them to make these payments to sort of get their books straight, it was just being far too expensive for them to do it in this particular capacity. I mean, I think one of these things that people are trying to figure out right now is now that what we saw happen with GameStop stock, could that happen again? Is it okay for it to happen again? Or does there need to be some sort of step in from the federal government to perhaps make sure that such wild fluctuations don't occur in the future?
It is going to be a hearing to watch today beginning at noon Wall Street time. We will have complete coverage throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. In the meantime, it's going to be a big day on Capitol Hill as well because President Biden's immigration overhaul is getting introduced in the House today.
Yeah, so this is a bill, sort of a larger package that the Biden administration has been talking about. The proposal includes an 8-year path to citizenship for most of the roughly 11 million immigrants living illegally in the U.S. And it would also sort of bolster the nation's refugee and asylum systems. But this bill, it's probably going to be very difficult to get through in Congress, even though Democrats do control both chambers. You do usually need those additional Republican votes to move legislation in the Senate. And immigration has just become a very, very partisan topic, difficult for most Republicans to touch at all.
Yeah, obviously, comprehensive immigration reform has been something that's been very difficult to get across literally for decades now. What are the prospects of this actually getting pushed through as a comprehensive bill?
As a comprehensive bill, the outlook doesn't look very good. However, there has been discussion about breaking this bill down into smaller pieces that might have a little bit more bipartisan support. We have seen Republican lawmakers go ahead and support perhaps finding some sort of pathway to citizenship or some sort of support for younger immigrants who are brought over as children and meet certain requirements. They're often referred to as dreamers. There's been some discussion on that, as well as I know another bipartisan issue are workers who sort of are needed for various industries, for farmers up in fisheries to sort of do labor that otherwise employers would have trouble finding Americans to fill those jobs.
All right. In the meantime, there's a great scoop from our Bloomberg News team in Washington this morning about the Biden administration sort of turning the screws on Taiwan when it comes to this semiconductor shortage that's really hit the auto industry hard.
Yeah. So the head of White House, Brian Deese, he reached out to Taiwan and talked a little bit about what they might have in terms of these chips, these global semiconductors. I mean, this is something that just shows that the White House is very much aware of the current shortage, aware of the challenge that it's presenting to the automotive industry, and really sort of trying to work with their allies to see if they can get some sort of resolution here.
And in the last 30 seconds here, I mean, what kind of pressure is the administration under from automakers to try to get a handle on this?
I mean, automakers, obviously, it's still a really huge industry in the United States. This is a sort of critical part for them. And so it would be sort of a big win for the Biden administration to be able to deliver on the semiconductor shortage.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. And a reminder that the House Financial Services Committee will be taking up the retail trade stock frenzy coming up at noon Wall Street time. Stay with Bloomberg Radio and television for complete coverage throughout the day. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We're coming up to 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes research breakthroughs and is ranked one of the nation's most research-intensive universities by Carnegie Classification. More at njit.edu/R1. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A NASA rover streaked toward a landing on Mars to bring back rocks that could answer whether life ever existed on the red planet. The landing would mark the third visit to Mars in just over a week. Two spacecraft from the United Arab Emirates and China swung into orbit around the planet last week. Scientists believe that if life ever flourished on Mars, it would have happened 3 billion to 4 billion years ago when water still flowed on the planet. Facebook has started restricting the sharing of news on its service in Australia. That's the social network's answer to a controversial proposed law that would require tech companies to pay publishers when their articles are posted by users. Google opposes the law, too, but it struck a deal with Rupert Murdoch's News Corp to pay for stories in Australia. And Uber is bracing for a ruling from the UK's top court that threatens to alter the firm's business model in Europe. The Supreme Court will rule tomorrow on whether Uber drivers should be classified as workers, entitling them to minimum wage and holiday pay. The decision will set a precedent for how gig workers are treated in the UK. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. 6:56 now on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 2002, Vonetta Flowers becomes the first Black woman to win a gold medal in the Winter Olympic Games. She and her partner Jill Bracken won the inaugural women's two-person bobsled event, which was the first medal for a U.S. bobsled team in 46 years. But bobsledding was only one of the sports Flowers mastered. She participated in track and field, volleyball, and basketball in high school, and she accepted a track and field scholarship to the University of Alabama at Birmingham, becoming one of the university's most decorated athletes. Flowers' track and field background was a huge advantage in bobsled, and she quickly became the number one break woman in the United States. So in May of 2011, Flowers was inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures again moving lower this morning. S&P futures down about 16 points. Dow futures down 78. And NASDAQ futures down 103. NYMEX crude oil is up a third of a percent. It's at $61.35 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.